Well, good morning again. Just in case you're not familiar with the Bible, it's just perhaps worth saying that the Advent candle today remembers Mary, Jesus' mother, and the Mary in the story that we just heard from the Bible is a different person, a friend of Jesus. So shall we pray as we look at God's word together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to have this book, this wonderful book, your words, right in our hands, so easily available to us. And we pray now that by your Holy Spirit you would help us to listen carefully to your word and what you have to say to us through it today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, today's the last in our sermon series on work. And our aim in the series has been to help us to recognise work as the good gift of God that it is, whatever that work might be. And also that how we can overcome the challenges and the temptations of work and then honour Jesus in what we do and how we do it. And that central verse from Colossians has been sort of our main theme, if you like. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord Jesus. And I've spoken to a number of people who've said they've found the series really helpful. I certainly have. I hope you have here and also on the live stream if you've been listening. If you haven't, if you've missed any, do catch up with them either on the YouTube or on our website. Now, I haven't gone through all the last 6 weeks of sermons to count this, but I wonder how many times we've said the word work in those weeks. And a few years back, Oxford University Press did some analysis of words used across media, and they came out with the top 100 nouns. And work came in at number 15, which was pretty high, isn't it? And just for interest, time came in as number one. And, you know, not surprisingly, maybe we've never got enough time to do all our work and everything else. I guess COVID would be the number one noun at the moment. But those other words, I'm sure, are still high up. But what was striking in that analysis was a noun that didn't feature in the top 100 at all. And that was the noun, the word rest. And sadly, I think in our, you know, apparently workaholic sort of culture that we're in, that might not come as much as a surprise to us here today. I mean, some of us have experienced personally or seen it in others, the impact of that workaholic culture, the burnout in people, the work-related mental illnesses, for instance, and other related aspects. And we see it too, sadly, in some of our teenagers when they feel the pressure to achieve. But from God's perspective, and if we're Christians in terms of our relationship with the Lord Jesus, rest is an essential element of an overall pattern, an overall rhythm of life. And we see that right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, when God himself, having completed all his marvellous work of creation, set the pattern for us. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Now, as we've emphasised over the last 6 weeks, work is indeed a good thing, whatever that work might be. The Bible says it's good to work hard. You look at the Bible, Jesus worked hard. Working with diligence and integrity is a good thing. Serving others and glorifying Jesus and through all of our work activities are wonderful things to do. And our sermons have reminded us that as Christians, as God's chosen people, we can enjoy whatever work we do, knowing that our identity is rooted in the Lord Jesus and not defined by any work, any activity that we might do. We've seen that how God is above all of our work-related fears. We've seen how serving Jesus distinctively in the work environment can provide opportunities to witness, to point others to the Lord Jesus. But it would have been remiss of us to spend 6 weeks on work activities and then overlook rest. So here we are today. Because teaching on work and rest, they should go together. Because it's essential we build rest into a pattern of life. Without rest, there's a danger that we keep on going at our activities and we miss out on the greatest priority, our greatest need of resting in the Lord Jesus. of listening to what he has to say to us. And that can potentially undermine the good work that we think we're doing for him. The risk is that we drift away, we start to rely on ourselves, trust in ourselves, in our own strength and so on, more than we trust and rely on the Lord Jesus. And that's what happened to Martha in our passage from Luke 10. Martha was head down. She was doing a good thing. She was preparing a meal for Jesus. It was a good thing. But she missed out on the better thing. She missed out in the rest, the time with Jesus himself. And that in turn had an impact. Had an impact on how she did the things, the work that she was doing. And we'll come back and look at that a bit more later. Now, I can't imagine that any of us would argue that some sort of rest, whether that's sleep or leisure, whatever it happens to be, is anything other than a good thing. These are all God-given things and we should enjoy them. We know from the Bible that Jesus slept and he rested. In Mark 6, verse 31, for instance, there's an interesting bit where the disciples had just returned from a really busy period of ministry where Jesus had sent them out. And they come back and Jesus says to them, he tells them, come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. But, you know, we're all different in what type of rest we might need because, you know, we're different in our physical and mental makeup. And so how much and how often will also differ. But perhaps, though, we don't pay enough attention to that need for rest because we don't realise fully how the Bible sees rest, where the spiritual need, the spiritual rest, is the primary aspect of rest, and where rest looks forward to that eternal rest which we're promised when Jesus returns, when we'll live with him forever, where the heavenly work rest balance will be naturally perfect. And it's just such a wonderful, exciting prospect, isn't it? But Jesus wants us not to wait for that. He wants us to experience now. He wants us to experience it every day until he comes. And those great verses in Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, I've used these before, I think, in this series. The words out of Jesus' own mouth. Come to me, he says, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your soul when you come to Jesus for the first time and commit your life to him. Rest for your souls every day with Jesus, now and into eternity. Work is good, work is godly. Rest is good, rest is godly. And if we're Christians, rest is part of our submission to and trust in Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalm 121, for instance, that God doesn't get tired, he doesn't get weary, he doesn't need rest. But we've already seen from Genesis 2 that God himself rested. So although God knew that our human bodies needed and would benefit from rest, in establishing this pattern of work and rest in Genesis 2, we can see that from the start, God had something more in mind than just physical rest. And that develops as the Bible goes on. For a while in the Old Testament, the original people of God, and this was through the fourth of the Ten Commandments, God's people were instructed to rest once every 7 days. Called the Sabbath. And if we track that in Exodus and Deuteronomy, the two parts, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, the two parts of the Bible where the Ten Commandments are discussed, we see that in Exodus 20 verse 11, that this enforced Sabbath rest was to be used to remember that God created and provided everything for the people of God and continued to do so. And in the Deuteronomy 5:15, it was also to be seen as a celebration, a reminder of the rescue from slavery, from forced work with no rest that they suffered in Egypt. Yeah, the day of rest was, you know, a time to be refreshed physically, but most importantly, it was an expression of God's all-encompassing salvation and provision for his people. And those people of God, that Sabbath rest that they had at the time while they were in the desert, it also looked forward to the promised land where they were heading. where that promise first made by God to Abraham would become a reality for them, of a peaceful, abundant land where they would rest with God. That was his promise to them. But if we read on through the Old Testament, we see that God's people never really experienced those promises of rest to the full because of the disobedience, because their lack of trust in God. But the great news for us is that those Sabbath days of rest also looked much further forward to the Lord Jesus. And if we go into the New Testament, the book of Hebrews in chapters 3 and 4, the writer talks about this rest. And he confirms that this promise of eternal rest with God still stands for those of us who submit our lives to Jesus. To Jesus, the one who is our rescuer and our provider. But that writer of Hebrews also warns us today not to make the same mistakes as our Old Testament forerunners. Now that Old Testament Sabbath instruction to stop work and to rest on a particular day of the week, well, that isn't binding on us today. But the principle of balancing work and rest over a 7-day period, however that might look for us because we've got different lifestyles and so on, well, it's really got a lot going for it. The underlying principle is that we should take time off from our work to rest properly and regularly. And although, like those Old Testament people, although it's a time to be refreshed from our work activities, most importantly, it's a time to remember God's work for us, ultimately, through the work of the Lord Jesus, his death on the cross for us, and his resurrection. And it's a time for us to be encouraged, to encourage of all those promises that God has made, as we prayed, actually, never to forsake us. For instance, to provide for us all the time. A time to listen to Jesus in his word as he speaks to us through the Bible. And a time to meet together like we are today with other Christians to encourage one another as we wait for that eternal rest that Jesus will bring when he returns. So let's look at the passage that Samuel read for us at it's page 1042 if you've got a church Bible, Luke chapter 10 verse 38, and this is the account of Jesus visiting his two friends, two sisters, Martha and Mary, and he emphasized from his own mouth some of these points. Now I think it's worth saying to start off with that there's no indication that either Martha or Mary were considered more godly, if I can put it that way. The indications are from this passage and from when we meet them again in John chapter 11 that they both loved Jesus and they were both devoted to Jesus. But like me and my sister, like all of us here, they were different characters, so it looked different. Martha's activity, Martha's work, it wasn't bad, it was great. She was preparing a meal for Jesus, and maybe some of his disciples were there as well, I don't know. It could have been, you know, a big task. But as Jesus pointed out to Martha, on this occasion, she'd allowed the preparation, the doing of the work, the doing of the service, to overshadow the goodness of what she was doing, to the extent that it had sort of trapped her. She started to be dragged away from what was most important of being with Jesus. And the key point that Jesus makes is that Martha invested all of her energies into serving Jesus and meeting his needs. But she missed that he just wanted her to be in his presence and to serve her and to teach her. But Mary, she recognised and she grasped the special opportunity that this provided for her to rest in Jesus' presence and to listen to his words. So she invested all her energies into making sure that that happened. This bit of verse 40 where it says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, I think is really telling, and it's a warning to us all. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, was sitting right there in Martha's house, and yet she was distracted from spending time with him. She missed out maybe on the best home group ever because she was distracted by her work. Martha needed to learn that listening to Jesus is more important than any of the things that we do for Jesus. Those things are really important, of course, and we've been talking about that over the last 6 weeks. But everything we do for Jesus must come as a response to listening to what he says to us, to knowing who he is and what he gives for us. And we can be like Martha, so busy doing things for Jesus and persuading ourselves that's what we're doing, that we don't spend time listening to him. And we end up inadvertently distancing ourselves from him. So we need to spend specific periods in Jesus' presence without interruptions. I mean, don't get me wrong, any time and every time with Jesus, whatever they are, sometimes they have to be grab moments. They're great. But sometimes we just need to sit at Jesus' feet in quiet reflection, and that's the better thing. We also see in verse 40, as I touched on earlier, that not only was Martha distracted, but her distraction sort of impacted on the value of the work that she was doing. Her overbusyness had started to stress her. She was under strain. And her good work of serving Jesus develops what appears to be into a joyless burden for her, where she starts to feel put on by her sister Mary. She feels hard done by. It leads her down a road of irritation with her sister Mary. And then she demands of Jesus to put right what she now sees as a wrong. Think of that central verse from Colossians. Martha had moved from working at it all with her heart working for the Lord to a place of self-interest. And so there's a warning for us here too. The less time we spend listening and reflecting on Jesus' word to us, if we miss out on praying and resting in Jesus, if we miss out on meeting with other Christians, it will increase the danger that we can lose sight of who and why we do what we do for him. We can let the cares of the world starve us, starve our hearts of the truth that Jesus is in control, that Jesus is our rescuer, that Jesus is our provider. Do you know, it was a tough lesson, wasn't it, for Martha? But I am so thankful for her, are you? For learning this lesson so that we can learn it as well. And then Jesus makes clear in verse 42 that Mary chose well. She made the right and better choice. She gave priority to her relationship with Jesus. She put most value on receiving more of the free gift of Jesus' grace into her life, above everything else. So how can we respond today, tomorrow, and the weeks ahead? Well, the Bible is really clear that the principle of working in a pattern of rest is good and it's godly, and we should be obedient in this respect. God knows what's best for our bodies. We should take note. But the main question, I think, today for us is, how can we be more like Mary, recognizing that time with Jesus and his word is the top priority for us? Recognizing that it keeps me on the right track, helps me to avoid the snares of the world and the lies of the devil that would distract us and which over time could impact on how we serve Jesus. We are so very blessed of being able to have such easy access to the Bible through all sorts of media, loads of different apps. And Jesus speaks to us now through his word by his Holy Spirit. And we have the amazing privilege of being able to attend church together, to listen to sermons, to worship Jesus together, to learn more about him in big environments like this, in small groups, in ones and twos, as well as on our own with him. Do we give that the priority that it deserves? I've really been struck as I prepared today that someone as godly and as close to Jesus as Martha, got distracted away from him so easily. Excuse me. And I believe today that the Lord is telling all of us to take a fresh look at the structure of our days and our weeks. That under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, but in His, and to Jesus's, in Jesus' strength, to take an honest review of our diaries and our calendars, to see how we can change things, to reflect that the priority of personal time with Jesus and corporate time together as groups with Jesus, that we are giving it the priority that it deserves. That might mean less work. It might be a better use of our leisure and rest time that we have already. So let's learn from both Martha and Mary today as we seek to work for Jesus in a pattern of rest. Let's recommit to not letting the snares and the cares of the world distract us from Jesus. Let's commit to giving rest time with Jesus the priority in your life, in my life, that he deserves and that he expects. So that Jesus says to you and Jesus says to me, you've chosen what is better. Amen.